Good morning, church. Good to be here. Amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Did you have a good Christmas? Amen. Hopefully, it was a wonderful time together. We were going down to my middle daughter's house for a couple of days for Christmas. And so we hadn't eaten anything, so we stopped at a very high-priced restaurant, McDonald's, and I went in and ordered my food and got a iced tea and a couple of small hamburgers and was carrying it out. And in the foyer there, they had put a window in so that they could deliver things to people that were coming up to get carry out. And so it was real wet. And so I took one step, and my feet were no longer on the ground. And I was falling. And so I said, I just thought for a moment, I've got two hamburgers, I've got an iced tea. This is not going to be a good thing. So I quickly adjusted my fall. Not to catch myself from falling, because that was a foregone conclusion. So I quickly set my drink on this side on the floor, and it stayed there. And then I set my hamburgers on this side, and then, boom, I hit the ground. And I'm laying there, and there's a lady I could see walking back and forth that worked in there. And I said, ma'am, she ran out. She said, oh, you've fallen. Are you all right? And I said, I've fallen, and I can't get up. That's what she did. She's laughing so hard. She put her hands on her knees. She's laughing, carrying on, laughing. I'm laying there, and I thought, could you get someone maybe to help me up? And so she did, and two men came and helped me up, and I got out of there. And they got fresh hamburgers for me. They were really thinking ahead. So the moral of the story is, be careful where you go to eat. Amen? Luke chapter 2. I know that this is after Christmas, but I wanted to share with you this announcement that was made, a heavenly announcement. It's found for us in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and following. Let me read it for you. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. All God's people said. Amen. We have here this heavenly announcement to the shepherds in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem. I want you to consider just four things as we look at this. Number one, they recognized, the shepherds did, they recognized the importance of this announcement. You know, sometimes God speaks to us and we don't recognize how important it is, but anytime God speaks to you, it's important. Anytime God talks to you, it's important. There had been 400 years of silence. When the last word of Malachi was written, there were 400 years of silence. God was not speaking. No prophets were talking. Nothing really was happening in Israel. Israel had come into conflict. Now they were in a state of rule by a pagan country. They were in occupied territory. The mood in Israel was not happy. The mood in Israel was sad. And it was at this time in the history of Israel that God chose to bring to fruition his plan of the ages, that Christ would come, be born of a virgin, would grow up amongst his people as their Savior. And so the angels now have come to make this announcement. Now I notice they did not go to the temple crowd. They didn't go to the priesthood. They didn't go to the religious leaders. The Pharisees didn't hear this announcement. Those traditionalists didn't get it. They weren't told by an angel. Mary got an angelic announcement. Joseph got one. And now God chose to send his angels to speak to shepherds. Shepherds. We know that these shepherds were probably temple shepherds. They were probably those shepherds that were watching over, keeping care of the lambs that would be given for the Passover sacrificial system in Israel. So these shepherds would have been knowledgeable, certainly, in the things of God. They would have understood the Old Testament implication of a lamb and the purpose of the lamb. When they went through their flock, they took out only the lambs that were without blemish, without spot. It pictured that they were telling to God that they were bringing a holy sacrifice. It was a picture of the one that was to come, the Lamb of God that John talked about, to take away the sins of the world, that was a sinless sacrifice. He had no blemish. He knew no sin. And so they would have had an understanding of the purpose of the Lamb, the sacrificial system. And they were not men of renown. They were just country shepherds. everyday people. You know, it seems to me, if we think about God and Israel, that God's way is with shepherds. You realize Abraham was a shepherd? Jacob was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. And these men following that ancient practice of shepherding were now standing in a field outside of Bethlehem, watching over their flock, keeping care, making sure they were safe. And the angel of God appeared to them. It says they were afraid, not just afraid, they were really afraid. Sore, that word implies terrible fear. It was always thought in Israel's history that if you saw an angel or supernatural being like that, if you saw them, you were going to die. And so there was certain fear and intrepidation from that point. But also there was fear that the angel came down right there in that hill country and said to them, I have something for you to know. So they were recipients of this incredible message. We know that they recognized its importance, as we said before, because they obeyed immediately. They did not think about it. They didn't take rest. They didn't take 2 days off. They responded immediately. This was an announcement of great importance. It was going to be an announcement that'd go around the world. And these few shepherds, we don't know how many they are, maybe they're 4, 5, 6, I don't know. But these few shepherds were to be the transporters of the message. Not only did they get the message, they were to carry the message. Isn't that a wonderful picture of what we're to do? Amen? We not only are to get the message, but we're to carry the message. We're to tell others about this incredible, seemingly impossible miracle that took place. It was a message of importance. Secondly, how did they act when this message was given? I put this down. They responded immediately, all God's people said.
Amen.
It says in verse 16, they came with haste. The announcement moved the shepherds. Oriental shepherds were a different lot. There are four important marks of an Oriental shepherd. Let me give them to you. Number one, Oriental shepherds, number one, they were the provider of their sheep, their lambs. They were the sole provider. They were there to make sure that the lambs were fed. They had proper grazing areas. They had rest. They were providers. Second thing is they were protectors. David is a beautiful illustration of that when he killed a bear and a lion on two separate occasions to protect the flock. The flock was their welfare. It was their earning. It was their work. But more importantly, it was their pleasure. They enjoyed caring for the sheep. They were the provider. They were their protector. There was a third thing. They were the guide. Psalm 23, he leadeth me beside the still waters. They were the guide for the sheep. Please put these things down. They were the provider, the protector, the guide. Then they were the constant companion of the sheep. In fact, they named the sheep. It's interesting, John 10 talks about God naming us. They named the sheep. They knew them by name. They knew them by trait. They knew them by look. They watched them carefully. They invested their lives in these sheep. How on earth, or what on earth, would cause the shepherds that had this much investment in the lives of these sheep, what would cause them to leave them? Just get up and leave, walk away. Because that's what happened. You couldn't have got them to budge. You could have told them there's something going on in Bethlehem or Jerusalem that they needed to attend to. They wouldn't have moved. But an angel shows up and says to them, there's something happening. And you've been chosen by God to hear this news. And instead of wondering about what would happen to the sheep, instead of being concerned with their protection and provision, they pulled up stakes and left to go to Bethlehem to see that which was coming to pass that was told them by the angel. I think that's an incredible thing. They moved quickly. All of a sudden, the things that were important to them weren't nearly as important. All of a sudden, the things that were moving them to give them the work that they do, to provide the wage that they earned, was no longer the thing of most importance. The most important thing now to them was to find this baby. They would not leave their care. They would not leave the watchfulness unless something of great importance, magnitude, moved them. It would have had to have been of such overwhelming consequence to the shepherds that they would leave the care of the lambs and the sheep to find the answer. What are we willing to leave for God? What are we willing to give up for Him? We have everything. You know, this has not been a good year, amen? But even at the worst, we're still okay. We're still better off than two-thirds of the world. We've got everything we ever want. And what will we give up? What will we do? What would move us to say, you know what, this is not as important as I thought it was. There's something of greater importance. When God speaks to us, we have to be careful to listen. They didn't sit and evaluate God's message. They just responded. There's a third thing. after they heard the message, and after they had gone to see, verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they had walked into the very presence of omnipotence, lying in a manger, a helpless baby. The Bible says, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They spread the message, amen. They rehearsed it openly. They did not hide it. What was there that was said to them that was so important? Well, we look back at our text. The angel said, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That message must have rang clear. This was not a time in the history of Israel where that would have been true. The opposite of that would have been true. They were in a concerning time, a worrisome time, a deprived time. They were under rule by a different country, by a different king. And when the angel said to them, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, how that must have stirred the hearts of the shepherd. Do you remember when someone came to you in your lostness and shared with you the wonderful gospel of Christ? And in hearing that message clearly for the first time, you understood you needed something you did not have. And with your heart opened, you received Christ. Glad tidings of great joy.
Amen.
This announcement stirred those shepherds. And once they heard that, they were thinking, what an incredible thought. Glad tidings of great joy. What would be the glad tidings? Wait a minute. For unto you shepherds, your nation, your people, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The word Christ in the New Testament would be equivalent to the Old Testament word Messiah. They just heard the announcement. There's good tidings. What are they? We can't wait to hear. A Savior. A national Savior or a worldwide Savior. One that came to save the world.
Amen.
And every man that bows his knee to Christ and receives him as their Savior are saved by that one Savior. And the reason he can do it is because he's the Messiah, the Christ, God in the flesh. They were overwhelmed by the thought that we're going to get to see the God who no man had ever seen. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word is tented. We beheld his glory. That's the same word in the Old Testament, Shekinah. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that verse moves us to the 18th verse of that same chapter in John. No man hath seen God at any time. The only beloved who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, set him before. He made visible in the body of a man the God who no man had ever seen, and he walked among men for 33 years. God in human flesh. No wonder they rehearsed it. No wonder they shared it. No wonder they went about and told others about this incredible, miraculous birth. Have you wondered much about their going? I don't know if there were a group of them, six, five, I don't know. They probably ran over each other. Just getting there. Hey, they didn't take a car. They didn't call a taxi. They ran. They made haste. And they arrived there. The Bible says, you're going to go to a cattle stall. Babies aren't born in cattle stalls. The King of Kings isn't born in a cattle stall, is he? The Prince of Peace? No way. Yeah. He is born in the meanest of circumstances. The poorest of the poor. And trust me, Joseph and Mary were poor. By this time, they were already ostracized by their society. People questioned their integrity. He had to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. That travel was not cheap. When he arrived there, he didn't have enough money to properly care for his family. He certainly could not go to the inn because it was full. So they made the best of what they had, a manger, a feeding trough, and put the baby there. Christ was born poor. He lived poor. But he died rich. Because you are the recipients of his sacrifice on the cross. Not as a poor man, but as the God-man. Then there's one last thing. The Bible tells us, verse 20, that they rejoiced openly. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They happily rejoiced in the message. I know that we can have some tough times, amen? Things do get hard. But there should never be a time in your life as a believer that you cannot rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in the good news. Rejoice in his sacrifice. Rejoice in his coming. The shepherds returned. They came back to keep the sheep, back to their occupation. They didn't take a 14-city tour to brag about what they had seen. They came back to do the work they had to do. In the course of doing that work, whoever bumped into those shepherds heard the message. Imagine now they'd taken those sheep for the Passover back to Jerusalem in the temple. Maybe one of the priests came up and said, what do your lambs look like? They showed them. Do you understand what this means? Oh, yeah. Let me tell you a story. And they told the story to those traditionalists, thought they had the corner on religion, who had no corner at all. And they said, oh, the good news is he's here. He's here. The Messiah is here. He's come. As I think about them going, I don't know, have you ever tried to put yourself in the shepherd's place? When they went, they rejoiced because they were the recipients of the greatest honor bestowed of man. They walked into that manger area, that cattle stall. There was Mary. Maybe she was holding the baby or singing to the baby. I don't know. Joseph was there. And he said, come in. And they went in and they looked down at the baby who was God. They were the first to see the Savior, the Messiah, the one who would save them from their sin. What was it like? What an incredible thing that must have been. What a story they had to tell. I've often thought about what it must have been like to be there. My mind's not as clever as that. A poet named Mary Elmendorf wrote a little poem, kind of a prose piece. It's called When Jesus Smiled. I think it kind of gives us at least a picture of what it might have been like. The cattle lay still in the darkened stalls. The smell of the hay was sweet. Joseph kept watch through the long, still night at Mary's feet. The windows were black and barred in the inn. The flocks on the hill were asleep. Mary did look on the babe by her side, and her thoughts went deep. Timidly, up to the manger crept two poor children seeking to find shelter and rest. One boy was deaf, the other blind. The face of Mary was tender and calm as Joseph made room for them. Nearer they came till they knelt in the straw at her garment's hem. Softly she sang a lullaby low, and a great star lilied the night. The singing was sweet to one little boy, the other the light. Close to the heart of his mother lay, like a blossom the lovely Christ child. Softly he stirred and opened his eyes, and slowly he smiled. Suddenly, then a wonderful thing, a beautiful thing occurred. The blind boy cried, "Look, oh look," and the deaf boy heard. Christ was born in Bethlehem nearly over 2,000 years ago. We have the privilege of living in the joy of what he did for us. Lord, help us to love you, serve you, live for you, work for you, until you come back to get us and take us home. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.